Good morning, Rhema. I may switch back and forth. I was late and I didn't get the body mic because I do like to move around too. Giving honor to God, who is the head of my life, to Pastor Ronnie, to Lady Sonia, to the ministers, the deacons, the mothers, trustees, the ushers, to Rhema in its entirety, to family and friends. We are going to the book of Hebrews, first chapter. You'll open up with me. And when you're there, just acknowledge by saying amen. So I'm just going to read two verses, verses 1 and 2. Hebrews 1 and 1, God who in sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. Verse 2, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Amen for the reading of the word. Is God speaking today? How is God speaking? Is God speaking to me? What is God saying to me? I don't hear God. I need a word from God. Can someone tell me what God is saying? Help me, somebody. In order to work towards an answer to these questions, it's important to review a simple element or skill in life called communication. That's if I want to hear from God. What is communicate? To pass on information, news, or thoughts. What is communication? According to Merriam-Webster Dictionary, the act or process of using words, sounds, signs, or behaviors to express or exchange information or to express your ideas, thoughts, feelings, etc. to someone else. What is effective communication? Effective communication is active listening. There are 9 components. That's one. The second one is nonverbal communication. We transmit information using words, gestures, and body language. Subsequently, active listening also involves this nonverbal communication, which is eye, contact, voice, facial expressions, silence, and hand, arm, and leg postures. 3 is asking questions. When you're in a conversation with someone, asking questions show you're interested in them. 4, being clear and succinct. When you are speaking, be clear, articulate, and concise. Clarifying and summarizing. To ensure you are hearing correctly, you can reflect back to clarify what you heard and summarize what you have heard from the other person. Being empathetic. Having empathy for another person is the ability to understand and share the feelings of another. Providing feedback. Developing trust and rapport. Being present. Being present means links all of these many skills together for effective communication. So let's look at active listening, because I didn't give you a specific definition or how to explain that. So to listen is to listen twice as much as you speak. For some people, that can be a little challenging. I work with some people like that, and I'm like, maybe I should just raise my hand. I can remember my mother saying, some people just want to hear themselves talk. Because sometimes the things that they're saying really don't make any sense at all. Okay, so maybe that is true, Mama. Just think, if we did listen twice as much as we speak, So active listening is to listen with your whole body. Be alert and interested in the other person. So that means when someone comes up to you, and I have to remember at work, I'm busy, I have to stop what I'm doing and turn to where they are. Otherwise, I'm still here and I'm like this. Is that giving them my full attention? I realize that that's not the case, and that's disrespectful. Refrain from interrupting and reflecting back on what you heard. You need to allow that person to say what they've got to say and stop interrupting them to ask them a question to clarify when if you just were quiet, they'd get to that point. So if I am to be active in listening, I need to know what listening is. Is it using my ears to hear what is being said? I'm glad you asked. Listening is to give one's attention to a sound. Listen to obtain information, to understand, to learn. Again, it's active listening. It's a verb. It requires action. Have you ever been in a conversation with someone or in a group and they are doing other things while you are talking? You ask, "Did you hear what I said?" Or ask, "What did I say?" Or, "Are you listening?" They may be distracted with things or their thoughts. Is this effective? No. Do you have their undistracted attention? Are they completely present for the conversation or for the communication? So I gave you definitions of communication and what effective communication is, which includes active listening and being present. That's all related to our spiritual man, to our natural man. Let's look at effective communication from a spiritual perspective. All nine components that I mentioned earlier of effective communication is a checkoff for God. He does every one of those. So now let's go back to Hebrews 1:1. God, who in sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, verse 2, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. So there are a couple of words here in these verses that I want to pull out to help us understand them, and that's sundry and divers. Sundry means in many parts, and divers means various. So God wants us to know his POR, which is his program of redemption, and his will for his people. So he spake to our forefathers in sundry or in incremental truths in many parts and divers, which are various ways, revealing his POR and his will for his people by the prophets, putting that plan out there for us to know. In other words, he spoke of it very often and in different ways. Communication from God is similar to the definition of communication, the act of process of using words, sounds, signs, or behaviors to express or exchange information or to express your ideas, thoughts, feelings, etc. to someone else. God communicated in various ways throughout time for us, through all of those various ways. Here's how. The incremental truths, many parts or sundry, he has done so through history, geographical locations, cultures, and situations. We have an example in Joshua 2. Rahab, the harlot, an Amorite, served idols in the Canaanite city of Jericho. The Amorites were enemies to the Israelites. She hid the two Hebrew spies that the king of Jericho sent soldiers to kill. The king knew why the spies were there. Rahab diverted the soldiers, telling them that the spies left while the spies hid on the roof. Rahab negotiated with the spies in exchange for saving them that they would save her and her family when they returned to take the city. They agreed. The spies left the roof by way of a scarlet cord. The spies waited in the mountain 3 days. When the spies returned, Rahab and her family were saved by the scarlet cord that was seen by the army Joshua brought to take the city of Jericho. The scarlet cord is representative of the blood of the Lamb, as it was placed on the doorpost when they were leaving, getting ready to leave Egypt. It is also the redeeming blood of Christ. Rahab, a sinner, is saved and becomes a part of the genealogy of Christ. She was the mother of Boaz, who was the father of Obed, who was the father of Jesse, who was the father of David, and so on. And you can read that in Matthew 1. The word divers is various. So it also means there are different methods, forms, and manners. So God then speaks in visions. In Isaiah 6, Isaiah saw the Lord sitting up on a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had 6 wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And the seraphim cried unto one another, saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." That was awesome to me. And I know Minister Michael spoke in depth about the angels. And what I began to see that is that they would holler out, "Holy." Then that one would say, "Holy." And it kept going around that they were saying it to one another. It just gave me a greater vision and appreciation of the worship that goes on in the presence of God. Isaiah witnessed this heavenly angelic worship to God, but Isaiah was given a message from God to give to the people. Isaiah's response after hearing, and hearing is paying attention, listening to receive information, he responded and said, "Here am I, send me." Another way is through dreams. Daniel 2, King Nebuchadnezzar has a disturbing dream and needs an interpretation, but not that simple. He called upon the magicians, the astrologers, the sorcerers, and the Chaldeans. He couldn't remember the dream content, so he said, because if it was a disturbing dream, don't you think he remembered what that dream was? Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I thought too. But he wanted the magicians to tell him what the dream was, and if they didn't tell him the dream and the interpretation, he was going to kill him. Quite interesting. So the Chaldeans say to him, "There isn't a man on earth who can tell the king's matter, nor is there a king or ruler who would ask such a thing, by the way. There's none who can show it before the king except the gods, whose dwelling is not with flesh." But I thank God that he is alive. Amen. He is alive. So because they couldn't give the dream or do the interpretation, that made King Nebuchadnezzar furious. So again, now he's going to really chop them up. He's going to get rid of them. So the decree goes out that the wise man will be slain. They go get Daniel and his friends. And Daniel's like, wait, what's going on? What's happening? And so the king's captain, Arioch, breaks it all down to him. This is what's going on. And David says, "Wait, let me go to my friends. Just give us time. Give us time." And he does that. So he goes to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He prayed, and God gives them the dream and the interpretation. God talks to us through poetry. In Psalms 139, David writes, "O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made." He speaks through sermons. In Matthew chapter 5 through chapter 7, We have the Beatitudes. We hear about the salt and light. Do not worry. Love your enemies. In 6:2, it says, therefore, when thou goest, doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily, I say unto you, they have their reward. 7:7 says, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. God speaks face-to-face conversations. He did that in Deuteronomy 5:4. Moses called all Israel to tell them, the Lord talked with you face-to-face in the mount out of the midst of the fire. He speaks by the tablets of stone. In Deuteronomy 10:4, and he wrote on the tables, according to the first writing, the Ten Commandments, which the Lord spake unto you in the mount, out of the midst of the fire, in the day of the assembly, and the Lord gave them unto me. He speaks through parables in Luke 15. He speaks through biography, through the Gospels, Jesus, the good news of salvation, who he is and what he did. He speaks through miracles, John 6, feeding of the 5,000, Jesus walking on water, Jesus, the bread of life. He speaks through inner compulsion, and that is Acts 21, 10 through 13. The prophet Agabus gives Paul a message from the Holy Spirit of what was to happen to him. History is through Chronicles 1 and 2, Israel's genealogical history, and the reign of King David seated on the throne of the Lord and ruling over his kingdom foreshadows the coming of the Messianic Son of God, Son of David, Jesus Christ. The Chronicles provide history of the acts or deeds of the day or times, building the house of God. He speaks through angels. Luke 1, 26 through 38, the angel Gabriel speaks to Mary. Historical research in Luke 1, 1 through 4. And I'm going to read this through the Message version of the Bible. It says, so many others have tried their hand at putting together a story of the wonderful harvest of scripture and history that took place among us, using reports handed down by the original eyewitnesses who served this word with their very lives. Since I have investigated all the reports in close detail, starting from the story's beginning, I decided to write it all out for you, most honorable Theophilus, so you can know beyond the shadow of a doubt the reliability of what you were taught. Through the person of Jesus Christ, John 1:14, and the word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So God in many parts spake to our forefathers in various ways. We look for a word from God. The most familiar way today is the Bible. However, we look for other ways of getting a word or hearing from God. Sometimes it's because our times of prayer may not be consistent, so we look for another way. Sometimes we send out an emergency prayer just because we are in a crisis and we disconnect from God, because he didn't answer right away. How long is that time that we wait for him? Because then we become impatient. God was speaking, but we didn't hear him, or we weren't listening. We don't give time to reading the Bible. We go to the prophets to hear a word, or some people go to psychics. Sometimes we just don't know how to hear or listen and make it seem so difficult. And that is just as clear as it can be. We just don't know. And sometimes we pretend that we know, and we don't know. So I said, we just don't know how to hear or listen. The two words are different, yet the same. To hear means to pay attention. It is the faculty or sense by which sound is perceived. Remember, to listen is to give one's attention to a sound, to obtain information, to understand, and to learn. The Bible tells us in different scriptures to pay attention. Deuteronomy 30, 17 through 18 tells us what will happen if we do not hear. But if thine heart turn away, so that thou wilt not hear or not pay attention, but shalt be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I denounce unto you this day that ye shall surely perish, and that ye shall not prolong your days upon the land whither thou passest over Jordan to go to possess it. Matthew 17:5 says, While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, This is my beloved Son, in him whom I am well pleased, hear ye him. So he says, pay attention to him. Acts 10:33, immediately therefore I sent to thee, and thou wast well done that thou art come. Now therefore are we all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. Verse 34 says, Then Peter opened his mouth and said, Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. So in verse 33, where it says to hear all things, it says pay attention, hear the sound, and listen. How does God speak? His written word, the Bible, the inner voice, the Holy Spirit, through dreams and visions, through people, the prophets, pastors, ministers, children, song lyrics, strangers, however he wants to. He can do it through an animal, the donkey, or through nature, the burning bush. He can do it through pain that comes into our lives. It could be emotional with relationships, tragedies, children, work, school, peer pressure, bullying. It can be psychological or it can be physical. For those who are looking for an audible, thundering, deep voice from God, you know, he has done it, and he can do it. But he is a gentleman, and he will not raise his voice to compete with other voices and sounds interfering with your ability to hear and listen to him. We are to train our spiritual ears to hear him. When we settle down all the distractions, we can hear and listen. That's where that quiet time with him comes in. In 1 Kings 17th chapter through the 19th chapter verse and ending in verse 13, Elijah, a prophet of God, hears and obeys God. God manifests his power through Elijah. God feeds Elijah by ravens. Elijah raises the widow's son. Elijah kills the prophets of Baal, but when Jezebel puts a hit out on him, Elijah runs in fear for his life. He becomes overly discouraged. How many of us become discouraged and want to escape it all? But God demonstrates love and compassion to Elijah by allowing him to get rest, and he fed Elijah. Elijah now gets up to continue to the Mount of God at Horeb with strength of the food and drink to sustain him for 40 days. Remember, there are symbols all the way through that are diverse ways that God talks to us about his plan of redemption. Those 40 days, another comparison there. Elijah lodges in a cave, and the word of the Lord came to him and said, What are you doing here, Elijah? Elijah answers, giving a short recap of previous events, and now they seek to take my life. So God said, Go forth, stand on the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passes by. And a great and strong wind was rending the mountains and breaking in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a sound of a gentle blowing. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entrance of the cave. And behold, a voice came to him and said, What are you doing here, Elijah? God repeated the question to Elijah that he asked him while he was in the mountain cave, the same exact question. Elijah knew God's voice, but was unsettled in his spirit because of fear. Fear can be paralyzing, brings imbalance and doubt. God wanted to have a conversation with Elijah, but Elijah was distracted. When God is present, there is evidence of his presence. There is evidence of his presence through the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and they that dwell therein. There is evidence of his presence when you wake up every day, breathe, talk, have activity of your limbs, and receive new mercy. You are alive. The evidence of God's presence is all around us, but do we hear and listen? So, back to Elijah. God passed by Elijah with great presence, with a strong wind, a tornado greater than an F5. F5 is the most violent one. It broke up the mountain. So tornadoes, according to my resource here, tornadoes are rated by their intensity and the damage they cause to vegetation and human created structures. I think God created that mountain. So it was greater than an F5 when it came through there. God created that mountain, not man. An earthquake of 10 on the Richter scale is the way that intensity was of the earthquake that God brought through there, showing his presence. And then the intensity of the fire. I would not have wanted to kind of feel that heat come off of God as he passed by. After Elijah witnesses God passing by, he's got this wind, he's got the shaking, he's got the fire. He's probably looking and at awe and not really sure what's going on. And then there was this whisper in his spirit. That got his attention. Elijah didn't expect to hear the voice, but he knew it was God, because he had been in communication with God and had a relationship with God. But God confirmed that it was him by asking Elijah that question, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" How does God speak? In a still, small voice, a whisper. What is a whisper? A whisper is to speak very softly, using one's breath, without using the vocal cords, especially for the sake of privacy or a soft or a confidential tone of voice, a whispered word or phrase. Our vocal cords vibrate when air comes up out of the lungs. And when it vibrates, then that voice, that sound comes out of it. So you hear me now speaking because the air from my lungs are coming out past the vocal cords and you can hear what I'm saying. But when you're speaking, it's at a whisper, there's no air that's passing out of the lungs. Very soft. That's how God speaks, in a whisper. So you've got to be listening for that. In 1 Samuel 3, before Samuel even knows God, Samuel heard God call him three times. He thought it was Eli, because Eli's voice was what he was familiar with. So God will speak to you with what you know and where you are. So Eli's voice was what Samuel was used to. God calls Samuel, and he goes to Eli and says, "You call me?" Eli is sleeping and awakened by Samuel and tells him, "No, I didn't. Go back to bed." When Eli was awakened the third time, he knew what was happening, that it was the Lord calling him, and said to Samuel, "Go back to bed, and when he calls you again, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" Samuel went back to bed. This time, God comes and stands. Remember Elijah, he came to him. Now he's standing next to Samuel, and he calls Samuel's name. We need someone like Eli for a one-on-one spiritual teacher mentorship. Listen to this. Samuel didn't know the Lord prior to God calling his name. So after Eli was awakened from a good sleep, it clicked, or the Bible says, then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. Have you ever had an experience when you heard your name called? I mean, literally. It was so clear that it sounded like your boss or a coworker, your spouse, your parent, maybe yourself. Those are God moments. We should be just like Samuel, the way Eli spoke to him and said, when you hear it, say, speak, Lord, for your servant, or put your name in there, is listening. Pay attention to those moments. What have you done when you have heard God speak? Next time, like Samuel, just say, speak, Lord, and know that God is standing near. That way, you hear him. That's how you hear him, because he's so close. So we have established that God speaks in a soft voice, sometimes a little louder. Sometimes you think it's you. Moses heard God in an audible voice many times, Exodus 3. Joseph received a message from God by an angel in a dream to proceed with marrying Mary in Matthew 1 and 20. The wise men received direction to locate Jesus by the constellation in a dream in Matthew. A man received a word about a donkey in Numbers 22, 30, 21 through 30. Not only did God open the mouth of the donkey, but Balaam engages in a conversation with the donkey. I mean, wow. Wow. The disciples heard directly from Christ, and others heard from God when reading the scriptures aloud to the congregation. Ezra the scribe and Nehemiah 8 and 3, and the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law. The mouth of a prophet, Amos 3 and 7, surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servants, the prophets. He wants us to study him. He wants us to get to know him. And when you do, he opens so much more to you. So how does God speak to us today? Think about that for a moment. How does he speak to you? The written word, when you read and study the Bible. The spoken word is given to us by Pastor Ronnie, the ministers here at Rhema, Christian radio, Christian media, song lyrics, the prophets, dreams, visions within your spirit from other people, just to name a few. Our most reliable source is the Bible, in incremental truths and in various ways. That's how God speaks today. God will speak to you in the manner that you are familiar, or a means that will get your attention. I'm not talking about familiar spirits that relates to the enemy, Satan. I'm referring to something that relates specifically to where you are at the time. There's a demonstration that I need your help to participate with. Sister Evelyn is going to come around, and she has a container that has some papers in there. Now, you have to listen very clearly. When she comes to you, just take one piece of paper out and just hold it. Don't do anything to it until I give you the next step to take. And there was silence. So with this paper, I want you and you only, not sharing with anyone else, I want you to look at the paper and read what it says. That's the first step. Just read it for yourself with your inside, not inside building voice, but your internal spirit voice. You'll need to pair up with someone, so there needs to be two of you. Okay. Don't give them what you got. Don't show them anything. Just don't show them anything. Keep it to yourself. Forgive me for that step. Don't show them anything. You're just going to be next to someone. You can stand or you can sit for this next part after you pair up. That's okay. We can do it with the three, so you'll be able to come together. That's all right. Yeah. So now, as you are paired up, so this is my right. So that means the person to my right, the very right, you're going to do something first. So it will be Evelyn with the three of you. So you'll have to stand and get together. And then she will have to, you'll have to stand. I'll get to that part. All right, so you've got two together, all right? Now the person, one of you, which is the one on my right, so it'll be you, Mr. Robert, Lisa, Rick, Evelyn, Mr. Day, Bina, Carla, Mr. Thomas, Mr. Michael, Charles. You are the ones who are on the right. So you're going to open up your paper, look at it one more time of what you see on that paper. And then you are going to whisper what's on that paper to that person. Not leaning or anything, but you have to whisper it so that they can hear what you're saying. Do you understand? You're going to whisper. No leaning, but you have to, they're going to whisper it, and you have to hear it. So Evelyn, turn it a little closer in towards them. There you go. Okay, so on three, whisper it. One, two, three. Okay, don't repeat it, stop. Okay? Listener, did you hear what they said?
Yes.
Not sure. Listener, did you hear? You heard very clearly. Did you hear what she said? Okay. So, reader, get a little closer and lean into him. Now, tell him again. Whisper. Now you hear it, okay? All right. So, it was for him, it took leaning in. You can be seated. It took him to, Minister Day to lean into him to hear. It could have been because there were other whispers out here, some other extraneous things that were preventing him from actually hearing her, so she had to lean into him. When God speaks, the intimacy is the soft whisper that causes us to lean into him. His word says that when we cry out to him, he leans in to us. That's in Psalms 116 and Psalms 34. So if God leans into us and we lean into him, there should be some awesome conversations happening, don't you think? So remember, when you're whispering, it's just, you're not actually breathing all that you just said. And only for them to hear. If they don't hear you, they have to lean into you. And you didn't hear everything that I said because you'd have to lean into me for you to hear what I'm saying to you. That's the way it is with God. He's speaking, but we have so many other things that are going on that we can't hear him. And we have to stop what we're doing and lean into him. And that way we meet him. So the words that you read on your paper, the rest of you can open up if you had, well, everyone should have seen the words. The words on that paper said, "You are the apple of my eye," right? Is that what you saw? What an awesome love note from God, a whisper. I'll share a little bit of my testimony. When I was in such a terrible life storm, emotionally and spiritually, on this particular day, I was sitting in my car, parked in my driveway at my rental property. I'm not able to recall what I was doing at the time, but I was in the car. And I heard words rise up as if it came from nowhere. I could say, "It's there, Then it faded out. I heard, rather I could remember, all I could remember is, you are the apple of my eye. I sat there asking, where did that come from? That's not on my mind. It wasn't on my mind at the time. Whatever else was happening, it was on my mind, but it certainly was not that. And I said, is that you, God? So it urged me to have to search that out. And I learned more of what he had to say in his word. And I found it in Zechariah 2:8. He said, for thus saith the Lord of hosts, after the glory hath he sent me unto the nations which spoiled you. For he that toucheth you toucheth the apple of his eye. That's a love note. Where I was at that time, he spoke to me where I was. I didn't understand it. I had to search it out. He speaks today in the same way he's been doing it for years. But we've got to search it out. And the scriptures say, search that matter out. You'll find it in the word of God. He spoke that, not sure what it was. I searched it, and that's what he told me. It was right on the dime. The apple of the eye is the pupil of our eyes. That's where our vision is. The pupil is cherished for eyesight. For me, God was telling me that I was precious to him. It was comforting and such a wow moment because he knew what I needed. It was a love message from God. God spoke to me in my inner man and confirmed it with his written word in the Bible. It was a rhema word for me that paralleled to let me know that God was right there with me at the time. He cared about me. He will speak to you where you are. To you today, you are precious to God. I've learned since to pause when he speaks in reverence to him, to hear more and or to ask what it means. When Elijah heard the soft voice, he reverenced God by placing his mantle over his face, acknowledged God, and God spoke to him. When God speaks, we should do the same. The word that God speaks to your spirit may not be on your mind at the time. Let me say it this way. My mind was far from something like that, but somewhere and at some time there was a word seed planted. It's what's on the inside. So for a person who has been taught the word and stray, there is a word on the inside of them. And let me make something clear. I didn't stray from God. It was just that I was distracted at the time. So just like Elijah and others, something has been spoken into their spirit. The Holy Spirit says he will bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever the Lord has said. That's Matthew 14:26. At that moment when you need it, when the Holy Spirit brings that word up, the Bible tells us to train up a child in the way that he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart. Proverbs 22:6. He's speaking. We just have to know his voice and respond, Lord, speak, for your servant is listening. And be obedient. For the day that you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Hebrews 3:15. This has been an area of concern and focus for me, and I have experienced the Holy Spirit speaking to me in various ways. I am still learning. God is speaking. We miss him because we have become distracted and multitaskers, even when it comes to spending time with God. So how are we listening for God? Okay, y'all bear with me. I'm not a sports enthusiast. Let's put that disclaimer out there. As it relates to basketball, football, soccer, boxing, hockey, tennis, is there any more sports? That name. That's most of them. What I mean is I don't know all the intricate details of these games, so I don't watch them. I have favorite teams, though, by association, like the Los Angeles Lakers because of Ahmed, the St. Louis University Billikens because of Sydney, the St. Louis Cardinals because of geographics. Otherwise, I'm an exercise. I do exercise for sport. So several weeks ago, Sydney made it possible for me to attend one of SLU's basketball games. I really liked it. I hadn't been to a basketball game since Ahmet played in high school. I know there are two teams. I cheered for SLU. But mostly, while I was there, I was observing people and the atmosphere. There were announcers, buzzers sounding. Well, there was one that was right over our heads, right here. I'm glad I can hear today. Indicating time out, time in. Cheerleaders cheering, music, dancers, people talking, cheering, booing. We did too. People walking, people dancing. The sound of sneakers skidding on the floor as the players stop suddenly during their play. Sounds of players falling to the floor. I saw that too. Sound of the basketball bouncing. The sound of the basketball hitting the goal and the swoosh when it was all net. Players talking to each other. A lot of sounds. The coach for each team would stand and yell out to the player a specific command. The referee would blow the whistle. Still a lot of sounds. What it became very fascinating to me was the coach talking to the players while all these sounds, and the players knew what to do based upon the sound from the coach. I saw one player who received the command from the coach, pass it on to another player, either verbally or he gave some type of signal. I thought, wow, that's pretty cool. Above all the sounds, the player knew because he was familiar with the voice of the coach, Selah. How do you think that player could identify the coach's voice above all the other sounds that certainly could be distractors? Because he's been with that coach in practice regularly, consistently, and the coach is in his ear. The player, then, is intentional. So even though I was seated up high in the stands when the coach spoke, he was yelling to be above all these sounds. It made it seem as if it were just a whisper to the players. But it was made known that they were listening by their action of obedience and that they were in constant attention and listening for the coach's voice while they were in play. Like, wow. Man. Wow. Hebrews 1 and 2 says, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Christ speaks, and he speaks through salvation, all the way through, from Genesis to Revelation. He's speaking. That is our main voice that we should be hearing. That's the plan of redemption. God has, in so many ways, and with so increasing clearness, spoken to us fallen sinners concerning salvation, that he should by himself cleanse us from our sins is a wonder of love beyond our utmost powers of admiration, gratitude, and praise. So my focus and attention and need has been on hearing from God, but it is paying attention to what he says and how he says it and listening intently, which is effective communication. God spoke in many manners and ways in the past, and he still does today. But the primary and ultimate manner that he speaks is through Christ. Jesus Christ is the message from the Father for salvation. The program of redemption. Matthew 17:5 says, this is my beloved Son. Jesus has been involved from the very beginning. John 1:1-3 says, in the beginning. How does God speak? God speaks in incremental truths and various ways to our forefathers and to us and by his Son, Jesus Christ, for redemption. He's speaking now. Amen.
Amen. Officers. Jeremiah. Amen. We're going to open up the doors of the church. We're going to extend an invitation to Christ. Whosoever will, let him come. We're extending an invitation to Christ. Amen. Amen. We certainly thank everyone for coming out. We thank Minister Brown for giving us this wonderful message that God has placed on our heart. Amen. She did a great job, and I thank God for her. Amen. Amen. She did really well with the analogy of sports for a person who doesn't care about sports. But I can tell she was listening and paying attention. Amen. Because I know the guys was going to grade her on that. So, amen. Let us all stand. Let us bow our heads. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we come thanking you, Father God, for this day. We thank you, Father God, for allowing us to come and assemble in the house of prayer. Father God, we thank you for your presence. We thank you for being our Lord and Savior. We thank you, Father God, for continuing to bless us and shower us with your love and with your grace and with your mercy. Father God, we thank you right now for everything that you're doing in our lives. We thank you, Lord, for the teaching. We thank you, Lord, for just your presence, Father God. We just thank you. Father God, we lift up our speaker on today. Father God, we ask that you will bless her and put back in her, Father God, what she has poured out. And we thank you, Father God, as we depart from the house of prayer, but never from your presence. Continue to be with us, Lord. And we thank you, and we ask these and all blessings in Jesus' name. Amen.